Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. As usual on a Sunday morning, recaps of plenty of the action from across the country. A little bit later on, Mike Welch will join us to take a look at some of that nice Gulfstream Park action highlighted by the Fountain of Youth. But it was also a big day out on the West Coast at Santa Anita. Our friend and colleague Steve Bick was out there with the radio show all week long and yesterday as well. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Good morning, Capital District. Hi, Tina. My wife's listening, watching.
And I pulled up. I know you only have a few minutes because you are heading to the airport, jetting off to the HBPA convention in New Orleans before heading back to Vegas for the NHC. So we will kind of do an abbreviated edition here, but I had to pull up because when we had you on last week, I don't think I had a Twitter picture of any food, but I pulled up yesterday, Fosselman's. Which I'm assuming an ice cream institution.
Institution, over 100 years old, and also a family. Chris Fosselman has horses, and it's an amazing dairy. Been in Los Angeles, 100 years, and I discovered it years ago when I would stay in Alhambra, which is just outside Pasadena. And about 10 minutes from Santa Anita, and I'm there 3-4 times a week. It's remarkable. Just a can't miss visit for anybody that comes out that has any appreciation for ice cream.
I had to grab a food reference. As I say, we missed it last week, but Fosselman put that on the resume. Just give us a little overview before we get to specifics. Santa Anita is one of those tracks that I definitely want to get to. Santa Anita and Del Mar, people just rave about Santa Anita. What was the weather like? What was the day overall like yesterday?
Well, I had a little trouble hearing you, but unseasonably cold out here, Seth. And so it clearly kept the crowd down. Maybe about 10,000 there instead of 20. Hopefully for Santa Anita Derby Day next month, be a little more seasonable. But it has been, I mean, anybody that's listened to the radio show knows Rick Hammerly and I, we're out there in 30, 35, 37 degree weather.
Ooh.
I mean, it's been rough. And the pictures you should have pulled up are the ones I put out of the snow-capped mountains. I mean, the snow's gone now, but the snow, it's remarkable. I had never seen it like that to that degree. So I think the chill kept people away yesterday, but it was still a nice crowd, and the racing was terrific. Culminating with those two grade ones, back-to-back, you had two absolutely thrilling finishes in the Kilrow and in the big cap. And earlier on the card, I mean, you had plenty of terrific action, including the San Felipe, where Tim Yakteen didn't even need any of the Baffert horses to succeed. He had that nice practical joke that he's had since it was a two-year-old for a very nice family from New Mexico that is getting into thoroughbreds for the first time. They've had quarter horses for years, talking about the Amistoys, and now they've got... Now they've got thoroughbreds, and their first one is a multiple graded stake winner.
Yeah, I saw him interviewed after the race in the winner's circle, and they are clearly looking towards the Derby, and good for them. But let's work our way back and start with the big cap. We're going to watch the stretch run here. I had the top three. I just had them juggled up. I took a little shot with Proxy to rebound, and then I had Defunded and Stiletto Boy in the second and third spots. But as I say, it juggled up. It'll be number four, Stiletto Boy. Kent DeSormo on board at 13-1 gets it done. As you say, a thrilling finish. A neck and a half separate the top two and top three. Proxy runs second. Defunded runs third. give us your thoughts on the big cap.
Well, it was interesting because you had the two Baffert runners that ended up sparring on the front end. And frankly, I applaud Mike Smith for challenging Juan Hernandez on defunded. And they went 46 flat for the half mile. Mile and a quarter, 46 flat. That's a serious split. And they went 110-3. So they were going at a good lick. Defunded stayed on. Hopper ran very well. That's a horse that's on the come. He's a huge four-year-old. You should have seen him in the paddock. He was a head taller than anybody else. Defunded ran a courageous race. Proxy, Johnny V, you know, started a rally. Looked like a winner, I thought, maybe mid-stretch, a little past mid-stretch. In the meantime, Kent DeSormo absolutely could not have ridden a better race. He sat mid-pack and made the timing was perfect, you know, to reach the front. And I know it was a photo, but it was clear at the wire that Stiletto Boy was a winner. And, you know, Ed Mosier had a lot of interesting things to say, including the fact that he came into the race feeling like he had the best horse. And there is a case to be made. This is a very nice five-year-old gelding that has competed in a lot of grade ones. I think he's won, you know, he's been on the board in six of the nine, and now he's a grade one winner. There's also a story to be told here that anybody that listens to the show all week, you know that the local horseman at Santa Anita, they couldn't train.
Yeah.
They couldn't train. So here's Stiletto Boy that's training up at Golden Gate every day, and here's Proxy coming in from New Orleans. And so two horses that had the advantage of galloping, you know, really training into the race, they run 1-2. And, you know, nobody wants to use that as an excuse, and Baffert didn't. You know, Baffert, I did mention to everybody Friday that Baffert, I talked to him Thursday, he expressed concern. He said, it's hard to go into a mile and a quarter race having just jogged your horses for a week. So that situation with the weather and the rules at Santa Anita definitely came into play here. But an absolute thriller, and a lot of people delighted for Ed Mosier and his brother Steve. They're veteran horsemen that do a great job to win a big cap. It's a big deal. And for DeSormo, that's his third, dating back to the early 90s. And, you know, given his struggles, it's a nice win for him. You know, he exasperates some people. But deep down, he's eminently likable.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment, both sides of that. And it was interesting to see, fun to see him, you know, on this comeback to get the big victory. All right, one race earlier, you alluded to it already, another thrilling finish in the Kilrow, grade one event, mile on the grass. The favorite, no surprise, comes in good form. Hong Kong Harry went off at even money, could do no better than fourth. But again, a close-up finish, Gold Phoenix gets it done. Dujour runs second. Cabo Spirit runs third. Gold Phoenix is going to be the number one horse here. Double digits in the top three positions, 10-1, 10-1, and 37-1. And we have a shot that you took afterwards, we'll show after the race, of Kazushi Kimura, who we are familiar with up at Woodbine, but spending the winter at Santa Anita, gets his first United States Grade 1 win on Gold Phoenix. Your thoughts in the kill row?
Well, it's a nice win for Little Red Feather. They were beside themselves, of course, Billy Koch and his team. And this was a horse that actually made some sense. You looked at him coming into this, and his form was a little sneaky. But you know, you look at the, you know, he ran in the Breeders' Cup, and it looks like, you know, he was no good in there. But he's never been off the board at Santa Anita. He's 1-for-1 at a mile. And I know Rich Eng, for instance. Rich picked him on Friday, and this was a thriller. I mean, you had five horses coming to the wire. You had five horses, Seth, that could have won this race. And Cabo Spirit, another horse, George Papa Padromo, he ran a bang-up race. I've been banging the drum for Dujour since the comeback race last time when we had him at 15-1, and I was surprised he didn't, you know, take a little bit more money. This was a very fun, exciting finish. Happy for Kimura to get his first grade one in the United States. He had two grade ones up at Woodbine. and Phil D'Amato. He's just the master out there. He's the Chad Brown of the West Coast.
And finally, let's go back to the San Felipe. There was great three-year-old action across the country yesterday, and on the West Coast, it was the San Felipe. You mentioned it earlier, Tim Yachtin with his own. He has now some horses that have come over from the Baffert Barn searching for points, but he's had Practical Move right along. Practical Move coming out of a nice win in the La Salle Futurity, but improves nicely to win pretty convincingly. Chart margin here is 2.5, went off at 4-1. Go Rocket Ride was the favorite at 5-2, runs second. Skinner, who I thought was interesting, manages to get up for a third in here, but Practical Move looked pretty good. And we have a couple of shots after we see him come under the wire, a couple of shots. Who was in the winner's circle presenting the trophy for the San Felipe? Our man, Mr. Bick, so that was very nice as well. But give us your thoughts on the San Felipe.
Well, this was terrific. And I think there's no figure yet, but it seems like this is a fast race. Practical Move, you know, for what is going on with everybody carrying on about Forte, Practical Move made a very similar kind of a rally that was eye-catching, and he was drawing off at the end. I mean, he's out of that act naughty. This is a fun story because, of course, it's Chad Brown and Sol Cumin that bred Practical Move. Act Naughty, of course, Chad trained, and he used one of his practical joke seasons. Trainers get seasons when the horses they train go to a stud, and he used one of the practical jokes to cover another horse that he trained, and it's a top flight three-year-old. I mean, this is a serious horse. You know, you mentioned Go Rocket Ride. I was shocked at how aggressively he was being bet, but he ran a terrific race up close, attending the pace and finishing solidly. Skinner kind of lost a little touch with the field early. He made a sustained, bold move. That's a step forward off the maiden win. Hijazi set the pace. I don't know what Zaydan and Gary Young, what their thoughts are yet about Hijazi. And I thought Fort Bragg, I threw Fort Bragg in for a little price boost, and he ran solidly. I mean, the top five basically are separated by about 3-4 lengths. And I think, you know, everybody coming back toward the Santa Anita Derby is going to be important along the trail by the time we get to Kentucky. You got to mention, of course, that National Treasure ended up scratching, and they have a situation out at Santa Anita that's problematic with Dr. Benson, who's the medical director or whatever. And she's scratching horses pell-mell just because, she never has been, never in her career was a racetrack practicing vet, but she just arbitrarily deciding that horses can or cannot run. And it's unbelievable. Joe Sharp came out there, and Joe, you know, wanted to run in the big cap, and comes in from New Orleans. And, I mean, Joe gets on the horses himself every morning, and yet Dr. Benson thinks that she knew better about the horse being allowed to run. And there were three other horses that were just taken out of the field. And the trainers, trainers are at wit's end with this. So that's a sidebar story that needs to be followed up.
Yeah, didn't Scarlet Fusion get scratched like a day or two before, actually?
He was scratched on Friday.
Yeah.
He was scratched on Friday. Yeah, and I happened to have been in the racing office when it happened. And to Joe's credit, he was polite about it, but had to be just absolutely disgusted. I mean, he's out there galloping the horse himself, and you know, the vet is going to decide. She's going to decide whether the horse runs. And it's funny. I had Zoe Cadman on the show on Friday, and she happened to say, "Did you see Scarlet Fusion coming off the track?" And she said she thought he looked terrific. So it's problematic. Davey Jacobson had a horse scratch. That Synthesis came out of the starter allowance, and National Treasure. So it's a sidebar to the whole day.
Well, again, I know you got to get to the airport, so we'll let you go. But as I say,
I'm getting on the plane actually.
Oh, okay. So we had the shots of you at the trophy presentation, the San Felipe. That was fun to see. And I was listening to the show on Thursday. I'll advise people to go back and have some fun. It seemed like everybody was walking by, and you had Miramati on for a while. And, of course, you're sitting with Hammerly and whatnot and a lot of familiar names, certainly. And then we took the road trip that you and Hammerly went on. That sounded intriguing as well. You wind up at the watch party for Henry Q winning out at Sunland on Tuesday. So it was a lot of fun, certainly, out at Santa Anita this week on the show. And just before you go quickly, just give us the lineup. We talked before we went on the air, the lineup coming up on the radio show over the next couple of weeks.
Well, we'll be at the HBPA convention in New Orleans the next 3 days, and then we'll go to Vegas for the National Handicapping Championship and National Horse Player Championship, and then we'll be home for a week, and then OBS, and then Florida Derby Week, and Santa Anita Derby Week.
Excellent. Always do a great job. Steve, we appreciate the visit this morning. Travel safe.
Boots on the ground, baby.
That's what it's all about. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Steve Beck, again, you can catch his radio show. Always great recaps of the action, previews of the action with good ideas as well. So keep that in mind. We'll head to a break. When we come back, we will shift our attention. We'll take a look at some New York. I'm going to take a look at a few of the Gulfstream races because we're not going to plug Mike Welch, until probably about quarter of. So we'll hit on the highlights with Mike. We'll look at the Fountain of Youth at Devonadale and the Gulfstream Park Mile, but I'll try to take a look in the meantime at some of those other stakes. But when we come back, we'll shift our attention. Take a look at the Gotham with a little bit of an upset there and more. All of that after this quick break. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Seth Merrill in the studio, as always, thanks for joining us. Don't forget today at Gulfstream, speaking of Gulfstream, we'll talk a little more about that later, but don't forget today it's a Rainbow Six mandatory at Gulfstream Park, so keep that in mind. All right, let's shift our attention now to New York, and we'll kind of work back from the Gotham. Fun, big field of 14, some interesting horses in here. I took a little shot with Uncorrelated, the number 4 horse, went off at 12-1 off a career debut victory for Chad and Klarovich. Was probably going to have to step it up, but I thought that was possible. It had a little bit of a trip and wound up 12th in the field of 14. But it was an upset, to say the least. Number 12, Raised Cane. And you can see on the front end, there's a loose horse. How Great Is Nate lost the rider right at the start and then kind of went out and took the lead. Some of the horses had to, you know, deal with that a little bit. But Raised Cane, chart margin winds up to be 7.5 lengths at 23-1. Slip Mahoney, who was kind of a logical player at 6-1 for Brad Cox and Al Gold, runs second. General Banker runs third in here. Nice little New York bred. Favored was Eyeing Clover. That one winds up fourth, but at 23-1, Raised Cane gets it done. Came out of a fifth place finish at Turfway, but before that had run second in the Gun Runner at the Fairgrounds. And we had Jeremy Plonk on yesterday, Countdown to the Crown. And he talked about how productive the Fairgrounds races have been, particularly, you know, talking about moving over to Oaklawn and doing well there, these Fairgrounds runners. But maybe you could have used that line to come up with $49 horse. I didn't have it, and I'm not trying to red board, but you always like to look back and kind of reverse engineer a little bit, and it may reverse engineer play into some of the preps coming up that maybe you have to give a little extra look to some of these Fairgrounds runners, because Raise Cane got it done. Interesting story, and he winds up with a 90 buyer, by the way, solid number. But an interesting story, I was reading the follow-up in the racing form, Dave Grenig. The trainer, Ben Colebrook, had a horse running in the three-year-old stake, the Battaglia, at Turfway. And so he took Raise Cane into the paddock. He legged up Jose Lescano. He hung around for a couple of minutes, and then it was like, I got to get to the airport. So he hopped in an Uber before the race was run and headed to JFK so he could head back to Turfway for the evening. Subsequently, the horse wins, and from the article, it sounded like Dave had him on the phone at JFK to get some post-race thoughts. But, boy, nice performance, big performance. Again, 7.5 lengths and a 90 buyer. The horse is behind. It's hard to get super excited, that situation. All of that said, do keep in mind, it was a muddy, sealed track. That may have played into some of the performances, certainly, but a nice, nice effort from the winner, Raise Cane, at a big price. And as I say, I did not have that one, but I got a little bit of a price in the race just prior, the Tom Fool, and I was kind of surprised. I like Little Vic, had Little Vic on top, and I was kind of surprised the horse got away at 6-1. That was the morning line. I thought the morning line was a little generous, but horse held right there at the morning line. Horse wins pretty nicely. Turns into the stretch and takes the lead. Little Vic's the number 7 horse. And there's a run from Running Son of a Gun and also Nakatomi, who was the 2-1 favorite. They both make a little run. But you can see number 7 Little Vic kind of gets the jump on him. And so I don't know if you had Little Vic, whether you were ever kind of sweating this stretch run. Chart margin is only a length and a half, but I don't think you're getting the feeling that anybody's going to get to him. Little Vic coming in from a second-place finish in the Toboggan, and before that, second in the Gravesend, based down at Parks, been working down at Parks, brings in Carlos Olivero, his regular jockey from out of town. So congratulations to the out-of-town folks coming in, a couple of seconds into New York Stakes, and then followed up with the win on Saturday. And again, a $15 mutual, which, as I say, I thought was a little bit generous, given what this horse had done already. But it is Little Vic in what, if you were watching yesterday, I had labeled this race very competitive. I called it 7-6-3, comes out 7-3-6, and got for the try, you got $140-some for the try. You got about $43, $44 for the exacta. So sometimes the competitive ones work out. And that was the case yesterday with the Tom Fool in New York. And we started out the stakes action a little bit earlier on the card in the Busher Invitational for the three-year-old fillies going a mile. Short field in here of 6. I like Ziarati, who, and I say it all the time, it's hard to make a decision, one race, good or bad. But boy, Ziarati in the career debut was just sensational. One off by 8 lengths with an 83 buyer. But Ziarati and Asset Purchase were kind of dueling early. Asset Purchase stayed on to run second as the 4-5 favorite. Ziarati, I was kind of surprised, got away at 3-1 as the third choice off the big debut effort. But the betting public was right to kind of look maybe a little bit askance as Ziarati fades to 4th, and it's She Da Booty getting it done for Chad Brown. Chad also trained Asset Purchase, so it was a Chad Brown exacta in here, and you got $31 for going all Chad with the top two. But again, at 5-1, Sheeta Booty, Dylan Davis on board. She was coming out of a 2-for-2 start to the career, broke the maiden in September at Monmouth, and then laid off and came back in January to start the three-year-old season with a nice optional claiming win right here at Aqueduct, and then follows it up. Third career start, stakes victory. It's Chad Brown. It's Peter Brandt. Sheeta Booty looks certainly like one to kind of keep our eyes on moving forward. You can see the nice late run here. And again, the duel with Ziarati maybe took a little bit of a toll on asset purchase. That was only her second career start, so she's probably one to watch going forward too. But I would certainly say those top two from Chad Brown worth watching looking, you know, going forward on the three-year-old filly seed. And I didn't see numbers. Let me just see. I may be able to quickly pull up. Sometimes some of the Twitter folks will pop out the buy. I did not see the New York buyers. And just trying to pull up some of the logical players here that sometimes toss out stakes buyers on a Saturday. Yeah, I'm not seeing it, so I'm not sure what the numbers were there in the New York races, but there were your New York stakes results. Also, I mentioned, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, I didn't pull up the replay, but I do want to mention, because we talked about it with Jeremy Plonk, the Battaglia last night at Turfway. You know, I almost mentioned this to Jeremy. Jeremy liked Bromley, and as I say, he was talking about how potent the Fairgrounds races had been, particularly the LeCompte, which was won by Instant Coffee. So Jeremy liked Bromley coming out of that race at the Fairgrounds. But in previous years, we've talked about some of these, this Battaglia and the Jeff Ruby as well, three-year-old races at Turfway. Jeremy has mentioned horses that come up from the turf at Gulfstream seem to translate well to the synthetic at, thanks, Dino, pulling up the result there. And it is going to be number 12, Congruent, getting it done. Number 4, Scooby Quando, second. And Jeremy's pick, number 10, Bromley, running third. The favorite was Gilmore at 2-1. Gilmore winds up running a little bit of a disappointing sixth at 2-1. Gilmore for Brendan Walsh was coming in off a second in the El Camino Real Derby, also on synthetic, and moved out of the barn of Bob Baffert into the barn of Brendan Walsh. But getting it done was Congruent. And as they say, in years past, Jeremy has kind of touted that Gulfstream turf to Turfway synthetic move. And I almost brought it up yesterday with him, and then we were kind of just running late and I didn't get to it. But that is the Congruent move. In the last start, he was on the turf, last few starts, he was on the turf at Gulfstream and comes up and gets it done at 16-1, $35. Again, on maybe an intriguing little angle, if you have found that, like Jeremy has in past years, and landed in that direction. So, yeah, kind of interesting. And again, another one of those that, hey, tuck it in the back pocket and maybe keep your eyes on that moving forward. All right, let me go through some of the Gulfstream action. And again, we'll hit on the highlights in a little bit with Mike Welch. But let's take a look first at the Mac D'Armada on the grass. I went with Highest Honors, the number one horse. I had Value Engineering for Mike Maker and Jose Ortiz in the mix, but they will be the winner. Highest Honors went out, did go off as a 5-2 favorite, and winds up fourth. But it was, you know, a close-up finish between the top three, certainly, and then a little separation to Highest Honor. But Value Engineering, the number 10, gets it done. 5-1, 5-1 also for Marwad, the second place finisher, 13, and number 2, Masterpiece at 4-1, runs third in here. But again, nice performance for Value Engineering. Had been trained earlier in the career by Chad Brown, now in the barn of Mike Maker, coming out of a second in the McKnight last time, and gets it done yesterday. Again, $13.40, and a solid 99 buyer yesterday for Value Engineering. So nice result if you had it in the MACD Armada, again, with a little bit of a price, really up and down. I mean, you were 5-1, 5-1, 4-1, and the 50-cent triple, $167. So nice result there. A little bit earlier also on the turf, it was the Honey Fox. I used White Frost in here, who went off as the 2-1 second choice. The favorite was Speak of the Devil at 8-5. Speak of the Devil's number 3. But take a look at White Frost, number 4 horse. Just can't find room. You can see there in the pink, on the outside, coming. And just had some traffic issues before pulling out. And you can see coming late. Not traffic issues so much as just kind of trying to save ground and then didn't have anywhere to go necessarily. But finally gets out, and when got out and got clear, made a late run. I'm wondering if White Frost wasn't best, again, given the early kind of situation and traffic to deal with, and things didn't kind of open up, had to pull out and make the big late move. And by then, the eventual winner, Faith in Humanity, lightly raced for Chad Brown and Klarovich, but had the jump. But it was only a chart margin of a neck. Buyer was a little light at 81. But again, it was only the fourth career start for Faith in Humanity. First start as a four-year-old. She only had 3 starts last year as a 3-year-old. So this is a pretty lightly raced 4-year-old. But again, I'm wondering if White Frost wasn't actually best in there, given the trip. We shall see, because it wouldn't surprise me, being Chad Brown and Bill Mott, wouldn't surprise me that we will see those matching up again, perhaps right in our backyard at some point. Also, let's take a look at the Here Comes the Bride a little bit earlier on the card. Yet another turf effort. And in this one, I had the eventual winner in my mix down at the bottom, Dance Macabre. I had number 8, Papio, on top for Mike Maker, Marcassi, and at 7-1, Papio is another one where I thought, interesting that we wind up just a head short, because I thought Papio was, again, perhaps best in here, but Papio just does not want to go by, and you'll see that in the stretch. The chart margin is buyer is 84. The chart margin ahead, first to second, a nose second to third, half a length third to fourth. Running third was Cairo Consort, who went off at 3-5 off the crazy effort in the previous start. But again, I'm number 8, Papio, at 7-1, and looks to have the momentum here, and I'm thinking I'm going to go by. And then the head turns, and the head's still a little turned. It's still, I think, is going to push on by and just says, I do not want my picture taken, and won't go by. So again, 12-1, Dance Macabre. I had it down at the bottom of my mix over my top pick, Papio, at 7-1. You wound up for $1, $120-some exacta. So if you played around a little bit, you were okay. But again, it was a little bit disappointing. As I say, it looked like Papio had the momentum and was going to zip right on by. And again, the head turned and the head turned and got right up there and just would not go by. So it did seem like she was a little camera shy and just did not want to wind up being the winner. But again, if you played around a little bit, still could have ended up with a decent little result in there. One race earlier, this is one certainly to pay attention to, because this was a nice performance and a horse that, we will have to keep our eyes on the turf going forward this year. Emmanuel started the career on the dirt and showed some real promise there for Todd Pletcher and company. But subsequently last year in June went to the turf, Had a nice win in the turf debut in the Pennine Ridge, then came up to Saratoga and tossed in a clunker, and then went to the sidelines. Emmanuel came back at Tampa back on February 4th and won the Tampa Bay Stake and won it nicely, and now had the shot to kind of validate as a four-year-old what we saw in the first start. And Emmanuel absolutely does that. Chart margin is only going to be half the length, but nice win, 6-5. Emmanuel's the number three horse. Shadeon, number 10, runs second, and Fort Washington runs third. But Emmanuel Javier Castellano on board gets it done with a very solid 96 buyer figure. And again, nice little stretch run there to clear by half a length is the chart margin, as I say, at 6-5. Todd Pletcher said afterwards he'll be looking at grade one races, the Maker Mile on April 14th at Keeneland, or on Derby Day at Churchill, the Turf Classic. I'm curious as to how things are going to shake out as far as a situation like this where you're choosing between Keeneland or Churchill, how trainers are going to decide turf at Churchill given the turf situation there last year. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Maker's Mile wind up being the preferred choice there with a little bit more of a sure thing, the turf over at Churchill. But, again, 96 buyer pairs up nicely with the 98 fired in the Tampa Bay return last time. So a solid four-year-old on the turf for Todd Pletcher going forward. Actually, I'm just thinking, why don't we take a quick break? I'll come back with some news and notes. I will say the very one was won by my lady, the Colonel Liam Dude in Colorado. The Colonel Liam was one of those three-year-olds on the turf, which I like quite a bit. I'm not sure that sorted out anything in that division worth kind of hanging your hat on. Dude in Colorado looked okay, but we will see how, you know, again, what we have going forward. I can give you numbers there as well. My lady, a 95 buyer in the very one, and I did not see a number for Dude in Colorado. Got it done by half a length. This is the favorite. Dude in Colorado might head to the Transylvania at Keeneland next. So again, we'll take a break, come back with some quick news and notes on the day. And then we'll head to Mike Welch for the highlights yesterday, Fountain of Youth and the Gulfstream Park Mile and the Devona Dale as well from Mike. So stay tuned. All of that when we return.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges. Wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, just some quick news and notes this week. Javier Castellano named the winner of the 2023 George Wolfe Memorial Award. That's awarded out in Southern California. And as always, if the jockey isn't based out there, they have to figure out the date of the award But Castellano will head out there and accept that. Just a career resurgence for Javier Castellano. Over the course of the career, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's won 12 Breeders' Cup races, the Preakness a couple of times, the Travers a record 6 times. He's gotten the Eclipse Award 4 times. The award is based on a nationwide vote from the riders themselves, and it honors career achievement and personal character. And Javier is a great guy. You know, we've had a chance to interview him, certainly, and deserving winner of the George Wolf Memorial Award for 2023. Also, this past week, the nominees for the Hall of Fame were announced. This is some list, and I got my package, my ballot in the mail. I'm going to have to sit back and really take a look. The nominees for the Hall of Fame this year that is awarded, obviously, every summer, or the ceremony every summer up at Saratoga. We will hear the results of the voting on Tuesday, April 25th. But as I say, I got to crack open my package and start looking. The nominees this year: Arrogate, Blind Luck, California Chrome, Game On Dude, Harvard Grass, Kona Gold, Lady Eli, Rags to Riches, Songbird Among the Horses, Trainers, Christoph Clement, Kieran McLaughlin, Graham Motion, Doug O'Neill, John Sadler, John Serafs, and jockey Corey Nakatani. That is some potential Hall of Fame class. They're all probably deserving in one fashion or another, but it's going to be interesting to see how the voting shakes out. And again, we'll know towards the end of April, and the ceremony, of course, every August right across the street. The National Hall of Fame and Racing Museum ceremony now is held at the Fasig Tipton Pavilion to accommodate plenty of people, because when you get names like that, they're going to show up. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by our friend Mike Welch, of course, the Daily Racing Forum correspondent at Gulfstream. And I thought, who better to check in with and get some thoughts on the big action yesterday down at Gulfstream Park. So again, we'll take a look at some of the highlights from yesterday, including the Fountain of Youth with Mike Welch right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Mike, in just a few, he just needed a couple extra minutes, so we'll get to him shortly. Once again, the John Battaglia last night, 9:25. Just wanted to reiterate in there with Congruent getting it done. Going to be interesting to see what these we mentioned it yesterday with Jeremy Plonk. Rich Strike came out of, well, didn't come out of, but had run in last year, the John Battaglia, ran fourth, I believe, and then went on to win the Derby. But it is hard to know these synthetic races. And again, that the El Camino Real, which was the race that Gilmore came out of, who was the favorite yesterday at Turfway, That is a win and you're in for the Preakness. And some of those horses have done well coming out of the synthetic at Golden Gate. But it is awfully tough to know what to make of these races as far as figuring into the Triple Crown, particularly the Kentucky Derby. It happened last year, but it happened at a very big price. And Congruent getting it done at some big odds yesterday, $35 mutual. This is a horse who, as I say, had the angle, if you liked it, coming out of the turf at Gulfstream. But it was a sixth-place finish, a fourth-place finish, and a third-place finish. The dirt races were actually a little bit better. On dirt, the horse has started, five times now, and has a couple of wins. So that's a little bit intriguing, I guess. There is some dirt form underneath, but we shall see. Picked up, I believe, the Battaglia last night, I think, is a points race. So I think he picked up some points and probably... I have to check on the point situation, but you would think, given a win here, and again, I didn't read a follow-up to know, but you would think, given a win in this situation, would show up for the Jeff Ruby Stakes stake coming up at Turfway, and subsequently wind up okay. I'm hearing this might be Mike calling us. I will. Mike, is that you? Good morning.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
You took too long to answer.
To accept, press 1. To send a...
Why don't you try to call Mike? Actually, why don't we hit a quick break? And then we can sort things out. All right, we'll have to do a break. When we come back, Mike Welch.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Mike Welch, covers Gulfstream Racing this time of year for the Daily Racing Forum. Of course, we connect with him all summer long up at Saratoga, but this time of year, we are envious as he is in much, much nicer weather down at Gulfstream. Although we'll be there, Mike, for the Florida Derby in a few weeks. Looking forward to seeing you and everybody and enjoying a little sunshine. But Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the big day yesterday. And let's kick right off with the Fountain of Youth, because you know, a couple of weeks ago, the unfortunate passing of John Veach, it got everybody thinking about Aladar and Affirmed. And, you know, you remember they had the big rivalry, I believe 10 races, and a lot of those were his two-year-olds. And it's just different now. In the last couple of years, the three-year-old trail has been populated by lightly raced horses, and there's a big performance one time, and then they come back and don't validate that, and that seems to have been the case the past couple of years. So yesterday in the Fountain of Youth, it was really nice to see an impressive performance from the two-year-old champion on the three-year-old debut. Forte gets it done. And does it chart margin? It's going to be 4.5 as the 1-2 favorite. Number four, as we watch the stretch run here, is Forte. Rocket Can, nice performance for Bill Mott, runs second. And Cyclone Mischief, I feel bad for the person who had that one on the rainbow ticket because he must have gotten a thrill to the top of the stretch. But this was a really nice three-year-old debut from Forte. Your thoughts on the Fountain of Youth?
Yeah, I mean, Todd couldn't have orchestrated it any better, you know, if they let him, you know, the way the race played out, the way he trained up to the race, the way the race played out, the way he's come back from the race. I just talked to Todd a couple of minutes ago. He said Forte's doing super coming out of the race. I mean, it was just a perfect first start back. You don't want to go too fast. The first time back, he got a 98 buyer, which is a couple of points less than what he ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So he's over the moon with what happened. And, you know, everybody that saw it have to be over the moon, too. I mean, he's definitely now the horse, the Derby horse to beat, the favorite. At this point, you know, puts a little extra pressure on Todd as far as that might go. But it's welcome pressure. You'd rather be in this spot than having to scramble to get your way in at the last minute. So he's got one more step now. He'll run in the Florida Derby and then right on to Kentucky. Todd feels like he's got enough foundation as a two-year-old with those five starts that all he needs is two starts back, and hopefully we'll be ready to peak on Derby Day.
And reading your follow-up article last night in the Racing Form, it seems like Todd was maybe a little concerned on the backstretch. But coming, you know, given the eventual win and the performance, I'm guessing maybe that it turned out okay because that helps the horse get a little bit of an education with a little bit of traffic to deal with. And certainly that's important to have that kind of education on Derby Day.
Yeah, he definitely took some dirt down the backstretch and behind horses. And, you know, for a minute it looked like he might get trapped there. And then the two-horse Legacy all kind of backed up. It gave him a spot to get out. And that's really all he needed. But, you know, as a two-year-old, he showed a lot of poise for a young horse. He took dirt in a lot of those races. I mean, with his running style, he's come from behind in each and every one of his victories. So, you know, somewhere along the line, he's caught some dirt there too. So that's not really a problem for him. And, of course, you want to have that when you get into the Derby with a 20-horse field, especially with a horse that, you know, when he gets to the Derby, he's going to be somewhere in the middle of the pack, probably, you know, much of the way. So it was just a perfect comeback for Forte, and now it's just, you know, a matter of waiting out, getting one more race in, and then just I'm sure Kentucky Derby Day couldn't get here fast enough for Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola and the rest of that team.
Yeah, they had a full house in the winner's circle, as is the usual with a Rapoli winner. Behind Rocket Can and Cyclone Mischief, from your follow-up article, it seems like Bill Mott and Dale Romans were kind of happy with the results there. The disappointment, obviously, the Champagne winner, Blazing Sevens, winds up running eighth in the field of nine. But as I say, Mott and Dale Romans seem satisfied, or if not thrilled, but satisfied with Rocket Can and Cyclone Mischief.
Yeah, I mean, and they have to be. I mean, you know, you go in thinking that if the favorite runs his race, you're going for second money anyway. And, you know, it was close coming up to the end, and then Rocket Camp edged away to be second best. I thought the Cyclone Mischief ran super because, in my opinion, the rail yesterday was far and away the deeper going on the track, and he was pinned down in there all the way, setting the pace, and for him to hold on as well as he did, not many horses that were down inside there, especially on the lead, ran that well. So you saw what happened in the race before to the favorite that made the pace on the lead, Rusty Arnold's undefeated filly. I mean, she just stopped in the last eighth of a mile. And I think even after the race, Tyler Gaffalione kind of admitted that the inside wasn't really, it was deeper down there, but he kind of had no choice, and that's where he wound up. But Dale was ecstatic because after the Holy Bull, you know, it was like, what happened here? I know my horse is better than that. Well, he proved that yesterday, and he'll definitely go on to the Florida Derby. I'm guessing Bill will also look that way with Rocket Can. And it'd be interesting to see what they do with the lightly raised Mage at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if they try the Florida Derby just because that's what Gustavo Delgado does. You know, he believes if you're not in it, you can't win it kind of thing in these big races. I thought he ran excellent for a horse with only one start under his belt. He broke last. I thought he projected to be like stalking the pace or even on the lead, And he broke last, wound up getting parked wide, which in a way was an edge for him being out in the better footing. But with only one start under his belt, he still held in there pretty well till about the eighth hole. Still green, obviously, if you watch, he lugged in and kind of had a check over heels with Rocket Cat, and he'll get a lot out of that race. So I haven't talked to them yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come back in the Florida Derby as well.
Yeah, that was a bold move to try yesterday off the maiden victory, which was good looking, but I agree, given the lightly raced portion, that was a nice performance, and certainly the horse that ran second in that Mage debut, Bourbon Resolve, has some local connections, so they had to be happy with the result. Maybe flattered that one a little bit. All right, let's go a little bit earlier.
Sure.
The Devona Dale, the Fountain of Youth leading into the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby potentially, the Devona Dale similarly, Gulfstream Park Oaks and maybe Kentucky Oaks. We shall see, as there was a little bit of an upset in here, Dorth Vader, the number 9 horse, 46-1. Over 28-1, Guns and Graces. Red Carpet Ready as the favorite runs third in here. I will say, Mike, though, and this is a little bit of red boarding and looking back, the 46-1 was probably a little bit of a crazy price given the horse was beaten as a favorite at 7-5 in the Gasparilla. I think people were hanging their hat on that race. But otherwise, as I say, the 46-1 just looks a little bit generous, and we're watching him come under the wire here. Chart margin is 4 3/4 lengths. Dorth Vader was intriguing yesterday. What are your thoughts on the Devona Dale?
Well, if you had the DRF Clocker report, you might have taken the shot and played this filly. She had two super, super works going into the race. I mean, I was kind of torn because she had worked so well, but on paper, I just wasn't sure she was good enough to beat the top ones in here compared to, what they had run against and what she had run against. And also, I was a little skeptical because, with her fast works and with her running style, I thought she might be on the lead in here. And I thought that's where you didn't want to be because, like I said, the rail was no good. I thought her only chance to win would be to clear off and control the pace. And that proved to be the undoing of Red Carpet Ready. But then Dorth Vader wound up stalking outside in the better going. And then when Red Carpet Ready threw in the towel, Dorth Vader just continued on. It was a super effort for her. Visually, the buyer number came back kind of low. It was only 81. Yeah. Forte, in comparison, ran a 98 for winning the Fountain of Youth. But nonetheless, it was a good performance. It was a memorable performance in more ways than one for trainer Michael Yates. It was his first graded stakes win ever. And, she'll be on to the Gulfstream Oaks, hopefully, with an eye also later on the Kentucky Oaks, but she's still got one more step and a little more distance to get through before she can go to the Kentucky Oaks. Leave No Trace was eased.
Yeah.
I spoke to trainer Phil Serpy this morning. There's no real major issue with her. He said that they're still trying to figure out what went wrong. He said she seems sound, but he thinks obviously there's a little problem somewhere, so they're trying to figure that out, but I thought maybe she had bled, and so did Tyler coming back, but that was not the case. So, but she is okay, so that's good news there.
Oh, absolutely. The winner of the spinaway last year for Phil Serpy, that was the disappointment in the race. But it's going to be interesting to see what Dorth Vader can do going forward. And finally, some thoughts on the Gulfstream Park Mile. We will watch the stretch run here. It's going to be number 6 endorsed. And I mentioned it yesterday, and I mention it often when this horse runs. It was a couple summers ago. This was a $100,000 claim up at Saratoga. Started the career for Kieran and Godolphin, but now they've had the horse subsequently. And it was only recently, after having the claim in 2021, that the horse has gotten to the winner's circle, December 22nd, and then in the Fred Hooper in January, and now puts this one on the resume as well. So it took a while, but they have endorsed, figured out, certainly. What were your thoughts on the Gulfstream Park Mile?
Well, yeah, he sure is as good now as he's ever been at the age of 7. And he obviously loves this racetrack. He ran well here last winter. He didn't win any stakes, but he was 2nd in the Mr. Prospector, 4th in the Pegasus, which at 1 1/8 is really not what he wants to do, and then 3rd behind Speaker's Corner and Fearless, a couple of good ones at the Gulfstream Park Mile last year. This was a little better performance. He actually got a 101 buyer, which is his career best for the effort. And again, like I said, I thought the further out away you were from the rail, the better off you were. And if you watch that stretch run, you notice the Chargett is inside endorsed. Endorsed is outside, which when he was lapped on Chargett coming to the quarter pole and in the position they were, I thought endorsed was going to go on and win, and that's what he did. And I wouldn't be, you know, my opinion, again, is if you would swap their positions from the quarter pole home, put Chargett outside endorsed, Chargett might have prevailed. But Chargett's a lightly raced horse. He's still a little bit green. This was only his seventh lifetime start for endorsed, lifetime start 34. That's a factor, too.
Yeah.
While Todd was disappointed, he certainly hasn't lost any confidence in Chargett. And their still goal right now, their main goal right now is still the Met Mile.
Yeah, very good. And I believe I read it in your article. They're thinking maybe the Grade 1 Carter for endorsed.
Mike mentioned that. He said there's a race at Keelan he's looking at. He wants to run him in a Grade 1. He said now that he's gotten here with him, he'd love to get a Grade 1 on his resume. So I think it's a little too early for them to actually pinpoint the next start. It might take a few days, but he's definitely was mentioned the Carter, which would be terrific if he could pull that off at the age of seven.
Yikes. And as I say, that would certainly validate him as a very, very good claim. You always look, $100,000, you scratch your chin, but it's working out. And before I let you go, I want to just one more thought. I'm curious if you talked to Safi Joseph at all about White Abario, because I said it doing the handicapping show yesterday, and they mentioned it. Everybody in the paddock down there seemed to kind of say the same thing. Maybe a little bit of a confidence builder in the seventh race yesterday, optional claimer with the C condition, and White Abario, if it was a confidence builder, mission accomplished, because he gets it done and looks pretty nice doing it over Jimmy Jerkins' Weyburn. But as I say, I'm wondering, was that the game plan? Do you know? Did you talk to Safi? Was it kind of a confidence builder for White Abario?
I haven't talked to him yet. I have to believe that. I think it might have also been a part that, you know, coming out of the Pegasus, he might have lost a little confidence in him himself, thinking maybe he's just not the horse he was, and we'll try him here, and if things don't work out, you know, maybe we're going to give him some time off to get him back to where he was. I mean, I thought that, and my Clocker colleagues watching him train the last couple of weeks coming out of the Pegasus, that he wasn't quite the same sharp horse he was going into the Pegasus in some of the early races. We've seen him work a lot of times here. But he looked terrific out on the racetrack yesterday, and he ran terrific. The horse that everyone thought had the best chance to beat him, High Oak, obviously, was not good yesterday. He wound up actually being eased. He was one of those horses down there on the inside, too, so... You know, maybe there's a little excuse there. I talked to Bill Mott afterwards. He said the horse came back fine, so that's good. But, no, White Abario, I thought, was very good yesterday. It'll be interesting to see now, you know, what Taffy plans to do with him next now that he has him back, turned back around, at least for the time being, off of that race yesterday.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what they do, because yesterday it was 7 furlongs, 2 starts back where he ran well in the Cigar Mile. Obviously, that's 1 turn at Aqueduct, so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
He could wind up in the Carter, too. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Mike, as always, really appreciate the visit and the conversation. We'll talk again in the future. Maybe the next time we talk, it'll be live, because, as I say, we're looking forward to our visit Florida Derby weekend. But again, thanks for the chat this morning.
That'd be great. Looking forward to see you. Just don't bring any of that cold weather down here, please.
And no, believe me, that's the game plan. We'll leave it up here and head down there. Mike, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Again, you can see his work covering Gulfstream Park, and we always tout the workout reports as well, as Mike alluded to. Got some good advice yesterday if you were looking at the workout reports. All right, we're running a little late, but that's okay, because I'm looking up at my monitor up there and nothing has started otherwise. So we will wrap it up for this Sunday morning on Racing Across America. As always, really appreciate your tuning in. Seth Merrill in the studio. Don't forget, this afternoon, Gulfstream Park, Rainbow Six mandatory payout. So keep that in mind for this afternoon, and I'll be back in... I'm just looking. The Gulfstream Park signal is up there. Their opener is about an hour away, so I'll be back probably a little bit before that to kick things off on OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. I'll take a look at some Gulfstream, some Aqueduct. We'll toss a little Oaklawn in the mix as well, and we'll have more here on the network as well. So it should be fun this afternoon as we wrap up what has been so far a big and a fun weekend of racing, not just around the country, but around the globe as well, with some Dubai action yesterday morning also. So again, I'm going to wrap it up. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to this edition of Racing Across America, and we'll be back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.